Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. We are back again, going through our second week of Hebrews chapter 10. And we are really building on this idea of the day of the Lord and the judgment that comes on the day of the Lord and how that can bring us dread. It can bring us proper fear of the Lord, but it also brings us comfort because we see and know that the Lord is going to bring right judgment. We were talking about that yesterday, and we were talking about also the suffering that we endure. And I want to encourage you, I don't want to do a full recap of all the other episodes, but I want you to go back and listen because I think these episodes build on each other really nicely. Again, this is the second section of Hebrews chapter 10 that we're doing to really dive into what does it mean to endure? What does it mean to endure in our sufferings? What does it mean to prepare for this day of judgment? And that all comes on the heels of living in the reality of the sacrifice of Christ, of living in the reality of who God is and what he's done for us. And so yesterday we read Psalm 9. To begin here, we're going to read Psalm chapter 10 just to pray and open together. And then we're going to dive back into that passage of Hebrews 10. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Why, Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? In his arrogance, the wicked man hunts down the weak who are caught in the schemes he devises. He boasts about the cravings of his heart. He blesses the greedy and reviles the Lord. In his pride, the wicked man does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. His ways are always prosperous. Your laws are rejected by him. He sneers at all his enemies. He says to himself, nothing will ever shake me. He swears no one will ever do me harm. Arise, Lord, lift up your head, O God. Do not forget the helpless. Why does the wicked man revile God? Why does he say to himself, he won't call me to account? But you, God, see the trouble of the afflicted. You consider their grief and take it in hand. The victims commit themselves to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked man. Call the evildoer to account for his wickedness that would not otherwise be found out. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations will perish from his land. You, Lord, hear the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them and you listen to their cry, defending the fatherless and the oppressed so that the mere earthly mortals will never again strike terror. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I actually wasn't going to read that whole psalm, but as I was going through it, I was like, wow, I feel like this is so much of what we talked about yesterday in the last couple of days and the reality of the Lord standing up on our behalf. And that there's so many things that happen in life that we want justice for, and that the Lord is saying, I am coming again to judge the living and the dead. And again, just the comfort of this, of Lord, you hear the desire of the afflicted. The victims commit themselves to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. And I think even that discouragement in verse 11 where he says to himself, God will never notice. He covers his face and never sees. But the Lord, the reality that the Lord will hold everyone accountable. Everyone accountable, and how that's terrifying to us and comforting to us. And I think it goes in again to what we're talking about today. And I want to reread that passage in Hebrews 10, starting with 32. Recall the former days when after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to abuse and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on the prisoners, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that you may do the will of God and receive what is promised. There's another section that we read yesterday that we're going to get into, I think, tomorrow. But I want to get back into this idea of talking about, you know, becoming enlightened, receiving the truth of the faith, and then still experiencing suffering. And it kind of goes along with the theme of the psalm that we just read, being like, God, don't you see this? Don't you see that the wicked man is prospering? Because sometimes, friends, the realities in our life, we're like, Lord, I'm doing everything right. Why are these still my circumstances? Why is the thing that I'm waiting on not coming? Why do I have suffering in my life? And all of these people who aren't doing the right thing, it seems like I'm being punished for doing what is right. And he's saying, no, like sometimes that's not how it works. God is still there even in the midst of your suffering. And I think it's so interesting. We see that here in Hebrews. He says being publicly exposed to abuse and affliction, sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on the prisoners and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property since you knew you had a better possession and an abiding one. So he's saying you partner, you're doing the right thing. You're partnering with the poor. You're visiting the prisoners. You're joyfully loving those and you're being abused and afflicted for it. Have you ever done something where you like do the right thing and then someone disagrees with you or like you don't get praise for it and you're like, that's it, Lord, I'm not doing anything good again. I'm never, you know, like the whole thing of no good deed goes unpunished. This letter to the Hebrews is saying you were abused and afflicted. And yet you still were partners with those who were abused and afflicted. You still had compassion on the prisoners. You joyfully accepted this abuse and this affliction, this plundering of your property. Why? Because you had hope that these people, the Hebrews that are being written to, that they accepted Jesus. They came into the fullness of faith and then they were suffering. They were being abused and afflicted. And what did they do? Did they turn away from God and say, this is not what I signed up for? No, they kept loving. They accepted the abuse. They accepted the affliction because they knew that they were living in light of eternity. They knew that they were living for the day that was drawing near. And this is what the world needs. Not saying that we just like lay down and take everything from the world or get trampled on. But so often, friends, we are so weak when it comes to affliction. We're so weak when it comes to being rejected. I don't like an ounce of anyone disliking me, right? I don't like an ounce of suffering in my life. The minute my life goes a little bit different as planned, I'm like, God, what are you doing to me? What are you doing to me? Kind of like you owe this to me. And the reality is God does not owe us anything. He chooses to love us. And part of the reality of being a Christian is that we will have to endure abuse and affliction on behalf of ourselves, on behalf of those who are serving. And we need to be stronger in our endurance and say, this doesn't hurt me as much because I am living for the day that is to come. But we try something. We try to do something. Someone doesn't agree. Okay, I'm never doing that again. No, we need to listen to what God is calling us to do and endure in our mission so that we can be witnesses and continue to love those who need to be loved. This is what the world needs to see. Not weak, crumbling Christians who are so afraid of making people mad, who are so walking on eggshells of people's opinions of them, who don't want to endure, who don't want to suffer, who don't want to carry this momentary affliction for eternity. This is what the world sees, soft Christians. And the reality is I am weak, but when I cling to the Lord, I become strong. I become strong and I give him that thing that hurts me and I give him that thing I'm complaining about and then I'm able to endure. And a lot of people are giving up the race. They're receiving enlightenment. They're receiving the knowledge of God. They're coming to faith and then they begin to run and they're giving up the race. And friends, many, many people are giving up the race because of the opinion of the world and the affliction it causes them. It's too hard to suffer. It's too hard to be disliked at work. It's too hard not to go with the crowd on social media. It's too hard to stand up for what you really believe. It's too hard to endure. And they're running the race and they're getting tired and tired and tired. And no one is running by them. And everyone in front of them has left. And so they're running alone. And so they say it's easier to just stop running. And in this passage, I love it. The writer to the Hebrews doesn't say, get better, get stronger, get faster. What are you doing? He says, endure, endure. You need endurance. Accept the affliction and endure. Just keep going. Remember what you have in heaven. Do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. What is the reward of our confidence? Being in heaven forever. 36, you have need of endurance. Some of you are asking for patience, and yes, you need patience, but more than patience, you need endurance. You need God to help you endure the race that you're running so that you can make it to the end. I love this, so that you may do the will of God and receive what is promised. And I think we think of like what is promised just as heaven, you know? I love this in the Catechism. It says, the perfect life with the Most Holy Trinity is called heaven. Heaven is the ultimate end and the fulfillment of the deepest human longings, the state of supreme, definitive happiness, your reward of being together with God forever. But the Catechism continues on, and the church has this beautiful, rich teaching of, when we think of rewards, we're also talking about eternal rewards. That if we endure and we're formed in this fiery furnace of our sufferings into the image of Christ, we can merit, by God's grace, eternal rewards in heaven. Catechism says this: the merit of man before God is due to God's free plan to associate man with the work of his grace. The merit of good works is to be attributed in the first place to the grace of God, then to the faithful. Moved by the Holy Spirit and by charity, we can then merit for ourselves and for others the graces needed for our sanctification and for the attainment of eternal life. So if we cooperate with God and we live in this grace and we endure, we can actually receive for ourselves a crown of salvation. In 2 Timothy, he says, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And the scripture talks about these different crowns that we receive, right? Salvation is an entirely free gift of God's grace. It's not something we can earn. However, eternal rewards vary based on how we respond to this grace in our life. In Matthew 16, he says, the Son of Man is to come and he will repay every man for what he has done. In 1 Corinthians, Paul teaches us that some will receive a reward while others may be saved as through fire. So we all, if we endure till the end, will be saved and enjoy heaven, but there's different degrees of glory that each of us can enjoy. Isn't that amazing? And there's these imageries of these different crowns: the crown of life for those who persevere under trial, the crown of righteousness for those who live long to see Christ appearing, and the crown of glory for faithful leaders. This is amazing that our souls, as we respond to God's grace here, we can merit, by God's grace, greater degrees of glory. This is the reward we're waiting for. This is the reward if we endure not just salvation, but these degrees of greater glory in heaven. That God wants to give us a crown that we'll be raised with him, and we can receive the crown of life, the crown of righteousness, a crown of glory. But we need endurance. We need to ask God, help us endure this light momentary affliction. And the way we can endure, friends, is going to God and saying, you see my trial. You see the betrayal. You see the abuse. You see the affliction. And I'm choosing to do everything for your eyes and your eyes alone, because I desire to be with you and I desire a crown in heaven. So Lord, as we close out today, we just ask for the grace of endurance, to continue to run, to receive the crown of life, righteousness, and glory. Amen.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.